Welcome everybody. Shiur number 1287. We're learning today Lilinishmas Moshe Daliv Ben Rabbi Aaron Zizel. Lilinishmas Blima Bas Ram Moshe and Lerafu Shalema Yehudis Leah Bas Cyril and Lerafu Shalema Yehudis Chava Bas Liba Arnina. Getting back to our Malacha of Zoreh winnowing. Okay, I just want to read an interesting thing Rav Shimon Ida brings down in his Sefer on page 121. We spoke about last time the distinction, why Borer, Merakeid and Zoreh were made into separate malachas, because the bottom line is that they're all similar actions. They're separating, it's a question of separating two items, separating good from bad, separating pesalus from eichel, separating two items. Why do you need three malachas? So I just want to read how he brings it down. Beautiful. It's actually a Gemara, but we'll read it in English. So he brings it down to page 121. He says that any activity, he says like this, any activity, and he's quoting a Gemara, any activity that was present in the Mishkan, even though it resembles another activity, which was also needed for the Mishkan, right? Like we see, they're three different actions, which are very similar, right? But they were done three different ways. So it is considered an av malacha, even though that's the point. Even though it resembles another activity, but if it was done in the Mishkan, it was made into a malacha. The Gemara says, the Gemara explains further that not each and every activity which was present in the Mishkan is enumerated as an independent av malacha. Certain criteria, there was a certain criteria that it had to meet, that was required in order to establish the activity, although performed for the Mishkan as an independent of Malacha. Now, we're not going to get into it. He brings down a little bit, but the bottom line is, that since it was a activity, an action formed in the Mishkan, and each one of those three, Merakeid, like we said, the sifting, Borer, which is general separation, and Zoreh, separating through winds, those were three different actions, and they did meet the criterions, whatever they were. That's why they were set up as three separate malachas, even though they're so extremely similar. So then he goes on, he just explains on page 122 the distinction as to how they're so similar but yet different. So he says that the bottom line was they used the shovel, right? And by the Mishkan, they used the shovel to throw the grain and the chaff. In the case that where the Av Malach was done, the grain and the chaff mixed together, they threw it up into the wind. The chaff, which is lighter, is carried away, so he brings down, again on page 122, the chaff which is lighter is carried away by the wind. The grain falls to the ground. This is the Av Malacha, because it was done with the wind of Zoreh, winnowing the selection of the grain from the chaff by means of the wind. Okay, so now, what do we need Borer? What is Borer all about? So now he explains, of course we learned Borer already, but we're trying to get the distinction as to how, where we find a differentiation with these malachas that are so, so similar. Now the grain, he explains, the grain which has fallen to the ground is mixed with stones and earth. It gets mixed with psilis, as we know, right? Perfecting the oichel to take out the grain, perfecting the oichel, food or desirable matter, right? By removing the stones and earth, is the malacha of Bari. You're removing the psoilus, the bad, from the good. And as we know, it applies to everything we've spoken about, the whole malacha and so on. So that was step number two. So step number one was the throwing up into the air, was the Zoreh, the winnowing. Step number two was when it's mixed in with the psoilus and the eichel, the stones and the dirt and everything, you take it out of there. So that's the Bari. You take out the dirt and so on. That's the Bari when it's on the ground and there's no wind. And then the kernels are then ground into flour. That's the malacha of toichen, actually grinding, which, right, of course, we've learned also. The kernels are then ground into flour, producing a mixture of fine and coarse flour. So, right, we all know when you grind winding up flour, so you have in the preliminary stages, if you want to call it that, but you have the fine flour, you have coarse flour, you have chunks of flour, whatever. So then sifting the flour with a sieve, with a strainer or whatever, to remove the bran flour, right, and coarse bran flour and so on, the morsin, as it's called, is the malacha of merakeid. And that is the malacha merakeid that's done through a sifting process. Again, even though it's removing bad from good, I'm separating whatever the case is, but that is merakeid. So he just goes on to say, therefore we see that these three of Malacha, Zoreh, Borer, and Merakeid are three different and independent processes which were performed at different stages in the processing of the bread or dyes for the Mishkan. So I just wanted to explain that, how he brings down, he explains it so beautiful, the distinction to three Malachas that are so similar but yet so different. Now there's another, it's very interesting that this Malacha of Zoreh, is not really, there's like two places, Rabbi Shimon Aida brings down two Mayim Makamis over there, that two places found in the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shin Yud Tes, in the middle in Zion, and then later on all the way at the end where the Ramah talks about if somebody spits into the air or something along those lines, which we'll talk about how that works. But be it as it may, so we'll talk about that case, how that works. But it's interesting to note that you really don't find, there's no like Simon in Shulchan Aruch. Well, I want to learn the Malach of Zaira. What Simon do I look up? You know, like I said, it's in Simon Shin Yud Tes, which is actually the Malach, which is the Simon that talks about, all the Malach, not all the, many of the Malach is a Borer separating. So it's, makes sense that it would be in there, but it's a Mamish, a small little thing, a small in Siv Zion and all the way at the end. That's otherwise basically you don't really find, too much in the Shulchan Aruch itself. So he brings down, in conjunction with that Siv Zayin in Shin Yud Tes, brings down Rav Shimon Aida on page 128. He says, and as the Mishmur explains it, I just read it the way he explains it in the English, even fanning the chaff, let's say again, back to that, again, we're going to talk about various different cases. An interesting case, even if somebody has a drink, we're going to talk about, somebody has a drink, there's a fly in the drink, right? So we know in Borer, right? We're going to be chazering over a little bit Borer also as we go down the line because the Malach is so similar. We know in Borer, if you want to take out the fly, you have to take out some of the drink too. Have a fly fell in the coffee. Have an insect in the coffee, right? So you want to take out the insect. You have to make sure you take out coffee and the spoon with the insect. So you're taking coffee from coffee, just to give an example. But what about if somebody wants to blow it out? They want to blow out the insect. So we're going to see that's not a problem. With my mouth, I'm blowing it out. I'll blow the insect out of the cup, and the insect is dead. That's not the question of killing the insect. We're talking about that. I just want to clean my coffee, and I don't, you know, it's I can't drink it the way it is. So we're going to see that that's a problem. So we'll go through the various different practical applications, but right now we're trying to stick a little bit to the chaff and the grain, which is the original case, which was done in the Mishkan. So he brings down even from the Shulchan Aruch, even fanning the chaff away by using both hands, right? You have the grain and the chaff, so by using both hands would be usur. That is, what is the case? What is one doing? One should not shift the grain chaff, for example, a person has a grain chaff mixture, and they shift it from hand to hand, right? You pour it, you have it in your hands, you pour it from one hand to another, back to forth, and you're pouring it, and you're shifting the grain chaff mixture from one hand to another to separate the grain from the chaff. That also one has to be careful not to do. That runs under the malacha of zoire, even though it's with one's hands and it's not actually wind per se. So just real quickly to read from the Mishnah Berurah, and again, it's in Simon Shin Yud Tes, which is a malacha of Borer, but Siv Zayin, where he goes a little bit into Zoire, our malacha, so the Mishnah Berurah in Siv Katan Chav Zayin says that not to do it with two hands, the Hainu Ladab, and this would apply to anything, whereby you're making a separation, good and bad. Hainu Ladabek Shtei Yodav Ka'achas V'likach B'Shteim Ululapech. So that's a different thing. So we said not to use your mouth, right? The Hainu Ladabek Shtei Yodav, the person puts their two hands together, V'likach B'Shteim Ululapech, right? And you have the chaff and the grain, let's say, inside your hands, and you start to blow in there. And now you separate, when you're blowing, you're separating the chaff from the grain. Then he says the miyad liyad, also, you know, throwing it sort of like, you take the grain and the chaff together in one hand and you pour it into the other hand. So v'huadin the miyad liyad, chaverta ein nochin l'das Rambam. According to the Rambam, one should not do that either. Okay, so that's just basically the Sif Katan over there in Chav Zayin, how the Mishnah Berurah explains it. Okay, we'll continue next time. Thank you for listening. Atzlachem Baruch HaKol Tov.